ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Good mind algorithms. And we have a variety of programs. Some of them include guided meditations. And today's topic is about balancing from the inside. And before I start, maybe since there's a few of us here, you can just say why you came to give me an idea what attracted you to the, was it the title or is it something you come to regularly? Would you mind starting?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Andrea. I came today just because I feel like it would be useful to just get other perspectives on how best to balance other methods. And yeah, just to get a little bit more information, just because I feel like it's something which I could benefit from in my personal and professional life.
Nice. You do constant learning in your life, picking up new things? That's
yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Hi, my name is Chloe. I came today because I'm really interested from a wellness perspective, in terms of balancing. So from a corporate perspective, how you kind of balance your work, like balance and trying to juggle so many different things. But also from a personal perspective, there's always so many different people you want to engage with, lots of different activities you want to do. And I'm just quite interested to know how I can be a little bit better at balancing everything and keep all the plates spinning.
I like that. You used the metaphors of juggling and also plate spinning too, which takes a little practice. Nice.
My name is Steph. I guess I'm really interested. I'm just curious about the topic in general. I'm relatively new to the concept of like conscious mindfulness, really, or meditation. But I find it's really important to find a balance in life for yourself in whatever way or form that might be. I think because only if you really sort of, you know, stay true to yourself and find that balance, you're really successful in your personal life as well as in your work and career. And once you've lost one, you know, it's sort of, it's getting harder,
That's really important, finding your center.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that today. Thank you. Yeah, it's important. Different aspects of our life, body, mind, spirit, and that's another way of balancing, looking at how to keep physically fit, mentally, also, you know, having some higher connection spiritually, staying fit from the inside out. Thank you. Nice. Nice. I'm glad you mentioned that about being busy. It's like the world is sort of gradually heated up, and then we find ourselves moving faster than we could have imagined. So it is an important skill to be able to balance. Thank you.
My name is Matthew. I came here just to slow down a little bit.
Nice.
My name is, I just supported team sales reps in typical Salesforce fashion. There's always five things to do at any given time. Three other places you can be and people vying for your time. For me, no is not much of my vocabulary, so even I love helping people, but in the past hour, actually, three different people asked me to spend this hour doing something else or something last minute that they didn't think about until they saw me. And I said no, to show a little bit of respect for myself.
That's great. Thank you. That kind of is our first lesson. about how to say no and take care of ourselves. That's a really important lesson you brought for us. Thank you. So today we'll be sharing a lot, and we'll go through, I'll present some points, and then we'll amplify them by us discussing if it's okay with everybody. Welcome, please come in. Not at all. You can come down here, it'll help balance it out a little bit. And our support team that we travel with all over the world, that's Neera Kula behind the camera.
Hi.
And we have Divinam over on the right here. So let's start. Come on in, welcome. You come over on this side, that way we're almost got a full row.
All right.
Not at all, it's fine. Stay balanced. So let's take a moment to introspect. It's meditation and introspection are a lot easier than one might think, because we have access to our inside. It's just a matter of taking time for it. Since we're all here and we have a little time together, I'm going to take us through a guided meditation. If those papers are in your way, you can put them aside and just get your hands free. And I'm going to create a little bit of atmosphere, and then I'll walk you through a meditation just to help center within and get a peek inside to see what's there, because often we don't get a chance to do that. So notice in meditation, if you sit up just a slight bit straighter than you were a second before, then you'll notice that you're become more alert. You might notice if you go to an interview, if you sit up straighter, then the person interviewing you will think, oh, they're paying attention. So our mental system tends to do that also. So yogis, keep a slightly straight spine, but not overstraining. So find a comfortable position for you and bring yourself to the present. Just be here and close your eyes. Let your thoughts and emotions come and go without judging them. Focus on your breathing. Inhale deeply. And then exhale deeply. Help yourself to concentrate on your breath by mentally saying in on the inhalations and out on the exhalations. If your mind wanders, bring it back to your breath. Now, bring your attention to your heart space. Imagine as you inhale that you're breathing a golden light into your heart. As you breathe out, the golden light fills the room around you. Breathe in soft golden energy. Your heart is warm and open. Breathe out and release all tensions. Relax. You're on a beach, close to the ocean, but not touching it. It's a beautiful sunny day. The air is fresh. The sand is a brilliant white, and the sky a clear blue. The sun pleasantly warms your skin, and you can hear the waves lapping. The water is now bathing your feet. As it returns to the ocean, your feet become transparent. the next wave bathes your legs. And as it returns to its source, your legs too become transparent. Now the water is flowing up over your hips to your navel. As the water returns to the ocean, your body is transparent from the navel down. The next wave bathes you up to your neck. The water is soothing. You feel safe. As the wave pulls back, your whole body is transparent. The next wave flows over your head. You have no trouble breathing, and you are very relaxed. As the water returns to the ocean, your whole body is transparent. You can no longer see it. There's only you, the real you, who is free from all coverings, who is separate from the body, and who witnesses all of the life situations that surround you. Please take a moment to notice that you exist. Be consciously aware of your own consciousness. Notice that you are alive. Notice that your life is different from your life situation. Now listen to a text from Yoga Wisdom. As the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so does the living entity, one within the body, illuminate the entire body by consciousness. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body can attain true happiness. Now put your palms together and make a little heat. You can hold them about 6 inches from your eyes and then open your eyes. Look into your palms. Notice that you have hands and then come back into the room. And welcome back. So one of the things that is very important in balance, according to the Yoga Wisdom text, is taking a little time to center yourself. And one of the statements that helps to balance between who we are and what we have is that what we are is more important than what we have. So just consider that there are a lot of things that we have going in our life, a lot of possessions that we're juggling, but those things are passing by. We don't actually have anything permanently. We have them for some time, and they'll move on to another place. But what we do have is our life and our conscious awareness. And that's what I was referring to as our life and distinguishing it from our life situation. There's also in meditation a concept of finding the gems within. Like with the ocean, if you approach the ocean and you only look at the surface, it reflects the sky, it reflects the clouds. It's not terribly exciting on the surface. And what's more, when it's moving, you tend to get a distorted picture of the reflection itself. But if you're able to go down into the ocean, there's all kinds of mystery down there. And there are gems at the bottom of the ocean. And within ourselves, there's an unexplored region. It's the great unexplored. I'm externally focused, so I'm looking outside and connecting myself to many things and many situations. And it's much like watching a movie. You may have had this experience of going into a movie, the lights go out. They still have movie theaters here? Okay. And then the film comes on. And it's possible to enter into the movie, into the plot. And I'm watching, and I may even become taken away by the plot. I'm moved by emotion. And then after the lights come back on, I notice, oh, I'm sitting here watching something. So my external focus, I'm looking around at various things, and I connect to them, and I think, oh, these are my things, this is my situation. But actually, it's the life situation that's going on around me, but I'm different from that. I'm observing it. So this example is given in one of the Yoga Wisdom texts, that when we look at the world around us and we become attached to it, then it becomes a burden for us. So I'll give you an example. Let's just say if you drove to Salesforce and we were sitting here with the window open and we heard a car careening around the corner, and then it sounded like somebody's car was sideswiped. And so, Steph, you thought it was sounded like your car. So then, how does Steph feel?
Anxious.
Yeah, and what are some of the symptoms? Well, what do you think she'd, like she identifies that was my car was hit, how would she react physically?
Shallow breath.
Yes, what else?
Heart
beats faster. Yeah, heart's beating faster, anything else?
Yes,
adrenaline pumping, perspiration, sweaty palms. And now Steph jumps up, she looks out the window, and it turns out it's not her car after all, it's Mel, right? And so then how does Steph feel?
Relieved.
Yeah. And what about Mel? Same symptoms. So there's lots of cars getting hit right now in London, but we're not really worried about it because we're not attached to them, we're not connected to them. But there's a way in which I identify, I mean, a car's made out of glass and metal and wood, it's just, it's a thing. But when it's my thing, which is a designation, I'm saying this is my thing, then it makes a difference to me. It has consequences. I react to it physically. My mind goes through changes. I can even become unbalanced because it has so much weight in my life. So there's a sense in which, through meditation, when seeing the difference between my life and my life situation and getting a tiny little bit of separation, like we all do in times of trauma, like let's just say, again, going back to the car example, because it's so easy to identify with a car, that if my car's hit, what's one of the things that I would philosophize after I calm down a little bit?
Ah!
Yes, that's philosophy. You know, you're objectifying and say, well, it's just a car. A minute ago, it was affecting me, but now I use my philosophical sense and I say, it's just a car. And that helps me get some space. So the idea behind saying there's my life and my life situation, it's not just the car, but everything that's going on externally around me is, it's moving. And if I attach myself to it and I say, this is my life and I have to control it in a certain way, then it's really easy to get swept away by it. But if I'm able to get a little centered before I go out into the world, then I can see things objectively, preemptively, before it happens, before the trauma happens, and then I have to reconcile it. So the yogic mind means to be slightly detached, and interestingly enough, one can be more effective in the world, act with more dexterity when one has a little bit of objectivity, because you're not so invested in it and you're not as attached. so you can work with it without so much emotion attached to it, or at least a little bit more perspective. So has anybody ever told you, don't shop when you're hungry? Have you ever shopped when you're hungry? It's kind of a disaster. So it's a similar admonition that don't go out and interact with the world until you have a little fullness. Get yourself centered. So the meditation is easy enough to do, and even in the sense of taking a moment to slow down, look at your breath, then look inside and see that you're conscious, you're a conscious being, and that you actually have a perspective, which means that you're looking at things that aren't you. You're the ones looking at it. Even you can go so far as to say, as do the yoga wisdom texts, that you're different from your present body. Your present body is really a vehicle. And if you look in the mirror and you notice your eyes, you'll see that they're perfect lenses. They open and close just like a lens. If you analyze your ears, there are little satellite dishes, and inside there's a mechanism and levers, pulleys, pumps. It's really a mechanical thing, whereas the conscious being within the body can't be circumscribed by a mechanical formula. It's a different energy altogether. This is the teaching of the yogic text, that what we are as conscious living beings is categorically different from the energy that is the body or even the mind. Mind's compared sometimes in like software. The brain is like the hardware, but then there's an operator, and that's the conscious aware being that you are, that I am, that we all are. And it's getting in touch even for a millisecond with that consciousness and noticing that's what I am, that can give that sense of wholeness or satisfaction when one goes out and interacts with the world and gives a little bit of perspective. So I wanted to start with that because it's a little bit esoteric, but it is the basis of all the teachings of mindfulness and yoga, is to take a moment and observe what we actually are. As if I get that part wrong, it's really hard to balance. I'll take a couple reflections, means anything that you heard so far or any experience that you had in the meditation that you want to report back. Reflection just means you don't have to ask a question, but if it's something that I said in the monologue so far that piqued your interest or that you know that you can remember, just reflect it back and you'll see it amplifies it a little bit. What did you hear?
I struggle to separate the concept of being as a consciousness and body and mind.
What yeah. I That's right. Yeah, so that's one of the objectives of introspection yoga, actually seeing the different layers, that there's body, there's mind. Even above the mind, there's what's called the intellect. And these are all given like kind of a hierarchy, but above that's the observer. And it's called the sakshi or the witness, the person who's actually looking at it all. So just in logic, if you're watching something, if you're looking at it, then you're separate from it. So you're looking at it, you're observing it. And oftentimes I don't actually observe, I just feel that I am it. Like if I'm in the middle of working or my life situation, my mind is going around and around and I'm absorbed in the movie. I'm actually in it. I'm identifying with the movie that is my life situation, but I'm not thinking that I'm actually observing this. I'm separate from it. That's the idea. Couple more. Anything that you heard, just reflect it back.
Don't go into the world empty.
Don't go in the world. Yeah, don't go out hungry. And that's one of the ways that I get into trouble, because if I feel whole, if I have some centeredness when I'm moving about, I'm working, then this is one of the ways to overcome situations that get me out of balance. Like anger throws me way out of balance, or if I, you know, I have some inordinate desire that just flies into my life and I chase it suddenly, It can throw me off kilter. So be self-determining. And one of the ways to start is to actually discover yourself. DYS, discover yourself. Like, see who you are. And all the yogic texts say, if you see who you are, it's so much greater than anything that you can have. There's a story in the ancient text, the yogic text, about the musk deer. So musk is a scent that people go wild for, but it comes from the navel of a deer. So it is said in the fable that the deer is born and starts to develop the musk smell, smells it, and then thinks, that's beautiful, where's it coming from? And looks everywhere. It goes on tops of mountains, down into valleys, into caves. Where is it? And doesn't know all the time it's actually coming from its own navel. So in a similar way, what we are is actually something so amazing that it trumps everything that I'm looking for in the world. I may look for satisfaction in some scene of beauty and find it temporarily, or I might want to have a certain thing that I think will make me feel whole. But actually, the really transformational and satisfying thing that I'm looking for is what I already am. I don't actually have to become something, because I already am something that is completely fulfilling. So that's kind of the introduction, because it's very practical, and taking time to look inside. And there are tools that you can use for mindfulness, meditation. I learned many years ago when I met my teacher back in 1973 to do mantra meditation. And I use a mantra when I meditate by repeating the mantra, listening to the mantra each morning before I start my day. It helps me to come into that space of seeing that actually I'm separate from the body. I'm observing the body. I can even see, you know, my heart's pumping, but I'm not making it pump. I'm more like being breathed than I am breathing, because I can't really stop breathing. My body won't let me. It has a mind of its own. And that's something I can see I'm separate from. Shall we move on to a few more thoughts? Or are you so intrigued with this one that you just don't want to get off it? Okay, let's look at the outline and see what we have. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you so much. That's one of the great tricks of mindfulness and meditation, is to close the door. Turn off anything with an on-off switch, like they used to say on airplanes. Now they let you keep it on. But I also have a do not disturb sign I take with me. And it really helps. Take some time during the day. I like what you said, Melanie. I was like, no. I'm going to take time for myself. So put up your do not disturb sign, close the door, and take a little time by yourself, even if you don't know what to do, and you don't have some, you know, super fantastic meditation technique. Just a little time alone to introspect, just be there, and just notice that you exist. Notice that your thoughts are there, and they're coming and going, and that you're not them. It's very beneficial for getting centered. You can get a do not disturb sign for your inside your mind, too, so your mind doesn't disturb you. So let's try, on a practical side, we can stand up for 1 second. And just get sure footing on the floor. And then, for a moment, just stand on one leg. See if you can do that. If you have heels or something, it might be harder. Notice when you're doing this that you might be twitching a little bit and moving back and forth. Do you notice that? Okay, put your foot back down. Now let's try doing it again. You can use either foot, whichever one you'd like to use. Stand up, 1 foot. Now just close your eyes. Okay, good. Now that you're laughing, you can sit back down again. So, which was harder?
Eyes closed.
Eyes closed is harder. Okay. So I did this to bring out a lesson. So the first lesson is, when we stood up, we noticed we're twitching. We're going back and forth. And if we were to actually go in scientifically and look at the muscles and how they're working, there's a lot going on there. And how's it even happening? I mean, they're all thinking for themselves, no, this way, that way. Thousands of synaptical connections and the muscles that go with it and everything like that. They're working, but really, if you look at yourself on a film, you'll be going like this. It's not that you're perfectly still, and I'm probably not even perfectly still here. We're never perfectly still. One thing is to realize you're already balancing a lot of things. We're a lot more balanced than we think. For instance, just physically, your bodies are good at balancing. The concept of homeostasis means if you run up some escalator stairs, you know, your heart will speed up for a minute, little perspiration, cool you back down, come right back to 98.6. And if you get cold, your pores will close, keep you at 98.6. And the body's always balancing in many different ways, in the muscular system and so forth. And also in our lives, we're doing many things at the same time. We don't even know that we're doing it. So we're already balancing. But the point I want to make here first is that balance doesn't mean that you're perfectly still, that you find a plateau and you don't move. It means actually that you're pulling back towards the center. So when you stood on one foot, you have a sense of where your center is. There's actually a gyroscope up here that informs you of that, and it helps you to stay, but you're moving towards it. When a flight leaves London and flies to Paris, it's on track only a fraction of the time. It's most of the time pulling back towards the center. So in our lives, balance means to know where the center is. Now the second, and to be able to pull back towards it, the second point is that when you closed your eyes, it was very hard to balance. So I do this as kind of a metaphor for the fact that the more you're clear about what your goal is, what's the North Star you're looking for, if you clarify that, what am I going for? And there's another meditation I do. We won't do it now because we don't have time, but when we go into this guided meditation, I have everyone sit under a tree, and it's a special tree. It'll fulfill any of your desires. Means if you sit under that tree and you wish for anything, the tree will give it. So I want you to just, we're not going into meditation, but I just want you to think about that for a second and tell me, if you were sitting under the tree, do you know exactly what you want right now? What do you think? I mean, does it take a little bit to think about it? What do I want? Yeah? So this is very common. It's not that I have exactly what I want in front of my mind or my life's goal in front of me all the time. But to the degree that I do, I can find balance because I have vision. I'm looking forward towards something. I'm moving towards a particular goal. I know what my purpose is. And when I take time to clarify the purpose and I have a clear vision of what it is, then whatever comes up in my life that tends to throw me off of balance one way or the other, I know what I'm coming back for and why I'm going forward. Otherwise, I just feel helpless because I'm being assailed from every side by distracting circumstances. What do you think? Couple reflections on anything on that part.
There's always so many directions you think you want to go.
Yeah. We have a lot of options, right? In one of the yoga texts, it says in Sanskrit, Vyavasayatmika Bhujir Ekeha Kurunandana Bahushaka Hinantasha Buddhayo Vyavasayinam. So it means that the mind of a person who's not sure of where they're going is called Bahu Shaka. So Bahu means many or unlimited, and Shaka means branches. So the intelligence becomes many branched. But a person who has a clear goal and purpose in life, they become Vyavasayatmika Buddhir. Their intelligence is fixed in a certain direction. So they know where they're going. So one of the, you know, exercises that helps to balance
is to take time with yourself, not just to introspect, but also write down what your purpose is. If you ask any person on the street, excuse me, can you tell me what's your purpose in life? What do you think they'll say? Besides, get out of my way, I'm in a hurry. Who are you again? But just think about it. At any given time, I mean, I come into the world, really, I don't exactly know where I came from, I don't exactly know where I'm going. And when have I actually taken time to clarify what my purpose is? This is one of the exercises that can give us very profound sense of balance, is when I decide for myself, this is exactly what I want. In any sphere, whether it's body, mind, or spirit, if I have a clear idea of what I'm going for, just like with body, if you're taking care of yourself, you have a clear goal. This is how much I want to weigh, this is how I want to feel, and so forth. And then when somebody puts a cheesecake in front of you, you have like a clear idea of whether you're going to eat the whole thing or not, right? Because you already have your purpose in mind. So that goes for any of the aspects of our life. The clearer we are on purpose, the more we take time. One of the exercises I learned many, many years ago from a mentor it sounds so simple, it's almost elusive, but he taught me that take time at least once a month to get a legal pad and a pen and just sit by yourself for an hour and write down where you're going and what you want in life. And think about it. It's so energizing. When you get finished with that exercise, you have new energy. And during that time, you can take time to clarify things that you don't want either. And that's your prerogative. As a human being, you have that power to self-determine and change your direction at any time. And it really doesn't take that much. It just takes giving yourself permission to look at your life and say, which things do I want to keep and which things do I want to get rid of? What do you think?
Yeah, I just think it's so interesting. Cause when you ask that question about like the tree,
yeah,
and like what it is, like so many things come to your mind, but they're all in different categories.
Yeah.
Like, you think about your family, and then you think about like yourself as a person, and then you think about like your work.
Yeah.
And how many things, like you were saying, you're doing all at one time. It's just a lot to think. Right. Well, what's the overall goal? You know.
It is.
And like, what do you sort of prioritize first? What if you could only have one of those things? What would it? I mean, obviously, I know for me it would be my family, but
yeah,
you know, but you've really got to consider everything else as well.
It's such a good point you're making, and I like the way you make it too. And I mean, you know, most people, or a lot of people, would say, okay, family first. But then, how often do I get to put family first? Maybe I'm working so hard. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'll get to my family next week or next month, and then, you know, I can go a year or 5 years or 10 years, and then finally someone says, you know, you didn't love me, you didn't pay attention to me for 20 years or something like that. So, yes?
To add to that, something that I think that also drew me to come here is that I'm quite frustrated in the element of time in terms of like how quickly it passes. Like someone was saying yesterday, it's 6 months till Christmas.
Yeah.
Towards that purpose you have or achieve all those things you want to do is something you have to think about and prioritize.
Yes, I like your point, prioritization. Mm-hmm. And this is vital for balance because we can't do everything. It's not possible. And it's good to know that too. But we can do the things that are most important to us. And if you take time to prioritize and say, what are the most important things? And then make one day a compartmentalized period of time and say, within this one day, I know I have a lot of things to do anyway, but at least let me do the things that I've prioritized, either first or make sure I get them done sometime in my day. And when you have that, there's definitely a sense of control that you have in your life, that at least I'm doing the basics, because it can run out of control. And the time just zips by. It's 6 months, and then all of a sudden it is Christmas, and what did I do? But if you line up and prioritize the things that are most important to you, like just say it's family, and like, you know, you mandate for yourself that every day I do something, I make an emotional deposit for my family, right? Then, you know, that starts to add up. Even if it's a drop a day, my teacher used to tell me, drops a day wear the stone away. You may think this is too insignificant to even do it, but if you do it regularly, if you do it every day, it starts to have an impact. So you get to decide what's most important, and you get to put it on the list and say, I'm doing this first, before all the other things pour into my life, right? Yeah. Okay, a couple more thoughts. One is about deliberation. I like this word deliberate, because it means to consider the consequences of things. As we talked about before, when there's trauma in our life, we tend to get clarity suddenly, because destiny speaks to us in a really loud way and sort of takes us away from our plans, and then we have to reassess everything. But my point is, you can be preemptive. And if you take time to deliberate and consider things, what's the most important to your things in your life, and prioritize, then you don't have to wait for an extremely traumatic moment, or some people call a teachable moment, when everything gets helter-skelter and you have to come to grips. Better to do it yourself and kind of look within. So when you deliberate about the purpose of your life and take time to think it over, then you can be deliberate. Spelled the same way. Deliberate, deliberate. Next thing is, adjust your attitude. This is a huge for keeping balance. One of the attitudes that helps to keep balance is gratitude. If you ever noticed, when you have gratitude, even a little gratitude, no matter what the circumstances are externally, you can still be balanced, because you're appreciating. Well, like, you know, one of the things, at least I'm alive. You know, at least I have this. You can appreciate the smallest things, or you can take them all for granted. And then life just becomes a gray screen. It really doesn't, nothing appeals to me, because I'm not really appreciating what I have. But the smallest bit of gratitude added into life, and you can do this deliberately, decide this is my attitude, I'm going to appreciate little things. And that starts to grow in your life, and it gives you balance naturally. As you don't feel overwhelmed by all the circumstances, you feel grateful and centered. And the second, and I'll just mention a word that kind of describes a feeling of gratitude, which is enough. Like, I have enough. If you can be in a state where you say, whatever I have right now is enough, then you can be peaceful. You can sit and feel balanced and say, like, no matter if I get more, it doesn't matter, because whatever I have right now is sufficient. I feel full. Okay, and here's a mantra for you to take with you, a special balancing mantra, because things do happen to us in life that we weren't expecting, and sometimes they're, well, let's just leave it at that. Is that true or not? Please say yes. Thank you. So here's a mantra. Please repeat after me if you dare. I live to be corrected.
I live to be corrected.
Try it another time. I live to be corrected.
I live to be corrected.
One more. I live to be corrected.
I live to be corrected.
Sounds kind of dangerous, doesn't it? I gave him one seminar, and somebody raised their hand. It was kind of a CEO type, and he said, actually, I had my mantra wrong. I thought I lived to correct others. But this is it's actually a very powerful way of changing your perspective and being balanced, because oftentimes when corrections come to us, I resist them and I get knocked over. If I'm flexible, I can stay balanced. Because when something comes into my life that is meant to correct me and I resist it, then it hits hard. But if my attitude is, the whole world is cosmic sensitivity training. Just imagine that as you're moving through the universe and actually everything that happens to you is meant for your refinement. It's meant to make you a more sensitive person, a more compassionate person. And these kinds of things are being given to me as an opportunity to grow. And you use this mantra, I live to be corrected. If you have a person who regularly corrects you, try this mantra and watch how surprised they are when they hear that come from your mouth. It changes the relationship also. It doesn't mean, however, that you should be a doormat. And it also doesn't mean that you should tolerate bullying. It also doesn't mean that you shouldn't take due recourse if somebody abuses you or something like that. What it does mean is that you should be aware that there are lessons in everything. If you can take the lesson from everything that happens to you in life, you can be an extremely wise person. That's the teaching of the ancient yogic texts, is be wise by taking lessons from your environment. Reflections? Yes. Yes.
You will get affected by what they are and how they behave.
Yes.
But you can't really change that.
We can't change other people, and we're mostly affected by other people in our lives, because we're social beings, and people don't always cooperate, do they? Not usually. So there's a little book I read years ago. I found it in the library, and it had four little lessons that I took with me that are very powerful. And you may have seen this book around. It's called The Four Agreements. Anybody seen this? Oh, good, I get to teach it to you. Okay, so these four agreements, if you keep these with you, they're very simple, but it'll help you in dealing socially with all kinds of people and staying in balance. You ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Number one is your speech must be impeccable. So the word impeccari means actually, literally in Latin, it means without sin. So, you know, be truthful. Watch what you say because it has consequences. Your word is your bond. So speak carefully. I have a whole seminar about that. It's called Yoga of the Tongue, but I'm not going to get into it now. The second one is don't take anything personally. Can you repeat it back? Yeah. The third one is never assume. And the fourth one is always do your best. Now, I'll give you a scenario about one of them, never assume. We can carry a great burden and get out of balance in our life by assuming things. So in the book, he gave this scenario. Man's walking through the mall. He sees his best friend come out of one of the shops. Friend looks at him in the eye, turns around and walks the other direction. So this man thinks, oh, my friend doesn't like me anymore. Actually, he probably hates me. Actually, I think I hate him too. And all week long, he's stewing about it. And he's thinking, like, what happened to our relationship? And he actually becomes really out of sorts, out of balance, angry. And he finally runs into his friend. And he says, all right, out with it. I know you hate me. And by the way, I hate you too. But what did I do? Why do you hate me? And he goes, what are you talking about? We're best friends. Why did you think I hate you? I saw you at the mall last Friday. You looked at me in the eye. I looked at you, you turned around and walked away. That's proof. The man said, Friday, I was at the eye doctor. They put drops in my eye, I couldn't see a thing. I was blind. My wife had to come pick me up. I didn't see you at the mall. But all week long, he was thinking in his mind, the movie was going. He was identifying with it, and he was out of balance. So if you can learn this technique of never assuming, and when somebody speaks harshly to you or acts in a way that is incongruent with your idea of how they should act, then don't take it personally. It's just how they're moving in life. It doesn't mean that it affects you in any way. And finally, always do your best. It means that every day you may have a different capacity according to your physical, psychological makeup. Do the best you can with what you have. And don't worry about the rest, because what else can you do? And if you stay within these four parameters, it really helps to stay balanced. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I went on a course a little while ago, and it sort of links to that where it talks about facts and applying judgment.
Yes.
And that's what we were talking about, like, you know, we tell ourselves stories, and actually you have to understand the difference between a fact and a judgment or a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
In your head.
Yeah.
Often, because they're not the same thing.
That's right. Yeah, these things are going around. Thank you for putting it in that language. That was very helpful. Yes.
Yes, to add that, I have a really, really vivid imagination. So like, as a kid, I was always writing stories and whatever, and I've got quite a crazy background. But I find myself creating these scenarios in my head, and then you go further and further and further, and then you realize, you think, how did I get to the scenario?
Right.
I literally just made up the whole thing.
Exactly.
And I feel it affecting my body, because I feel angry or I feel upset.
Yes, yes.
And it's like your mind doesn't, doesn't know what's real or what's not, so you,
right,
it's actively reacting in that moment to those negative emotions that you've made up in your head.
That's right.
And I'm kind of like learning how to kind of like stop going so far.
Yes, it takes some introspection, it takes some ability to see the difference in your life and your life situation, and there is a cycle that happens. One of the things is perception. Now, we actually don't perceive something until we become aware of it. Just like if you're reading a book, you can go through a whole paragraph. You actually read it, but you have no idea what you read because you're thinking about paying your taxes or something like that. Or, you know, when's your friend going to come over? So, first of all, awareness is there. And then once we become aware of something, then we interpret it. There's an interpretive factor in the mind. So let's just say, I walk past my boss. Boss doesn't smile at me, and I think, that's it, I'm so fired, you know, and not only that, I'm going to be homeless, and, you know, like, take it down this whole thing. So now what happens is, as we said earlier with that scenario with the car, the body reacts, and now the body starts going through changes, and that loops back to the mind, because the mind says, look, the body's reaction, so it must be true, and it magnifies the whole thing. And so I'm really, most of the time, say the yoga literatures, I'm locked in this mental, physical kind of confinement. And I'm really thinking I'm my body, I'm my mind, I'm identifying with the scenarios. But learning to actually step back, you get freedom to move and to make decisions that are based not on a reaction to something that's not actually happening, but to reality. And that's very helpful in staying balanced. You don't go down the wrong roads all the time. Thanks for bringing that up. That was great. All right, a couple more things, since we have one whole minute. And that is to unclutter. This is one of my favorites because it's so practical, but it's amazing how if you unclutter. So starting externally, limit visual noise. I met a professional organizer, and she told me all the extra things you have in your life, in your car, in your apartment, in your house, in your office, on your desk, in your bag. This amounts to what's called visual noise. And you may not even notice it, but it's throwing you off balance. So get rid of stuff that you don't need and feel how good it feels. Because the mind's telling me, if I don't have this, I'm going to die. And as soon as you get rid of it and you go like, I'm still alive, you realize that actually you live independently of all these things. You're not dependent on them. It's a very liberating exercise. And the next one is called atyahara. It means don't live to eat, but eat to live. So the point is over collecting or overeating, like, it's not, I'm eating to maintain myself. It's fuel so that I can be healthy, so that I can actually progress in life. But don't mindlessly stuff yourself either with food or extra things that you don't need. That's called atyahara, or in Sanskrit it means extreme collecting or extreme eating. And finally, mentally unclutter. So Stephen Covey gives this exercise. There's two circles, and there's a big circle, and that's your circle of concern. And within that huge big circle, there's a tinier circle. Give an excuse to get up and show my artistic talents. Here's my circle of concern, and here's my circle of influence. So what is this? It's all the things I'm concerned about. Anybody here concerned about anything? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, are there any of those things that you're concerned about that you can't do anything about?
Most of it.
So this is this wide area here. Like, let's just say I listen to the 24-hour news cycle and I hear about all the kinds of things that are happening in the world that really distress me. But right now, I can't do anything about them. They would fit into this circle of concern. So what Stephen Covey said, actually, there are things that we can do something about. We have influence over them, mostly about my own taking care of my own mental, physical, spiritual needs. And so if I live in here and I do what I can do something about, this reduces the stress within the mind of going out here and being concerned with all kinds of things that I can't do anything about. So in the practice of uncluttering one's mind, when you're taking a look at your life, setting your goals, introspecting, take a moment and say, can I do anything about this concern I have right now? Or is it beyond my reach? If it is beyond your reach, give yourself permission to let it go. And if it's in your circle of influence, then make a practical plan how to execute it and just do it. And you'll feel very balanced because you'll see that, you know, we have a limited scope, but we can do a lot within that limited scope if we stay within our circle of influence. So that's a concept that you can also use. Those two circles you can remember at any time when your mind is troubled with a lot of extra concerns that you can't do anything about. And so those are a few thoughts about the practice of balance. And I just, if you just say back to me really quick, any of the main points that you're taking away in your pocket that you may be able to use when you go out, and you can look on the sheet if you need to. And if you walk out the door and somebody grabs you by the arm and says, what was that guy talking about in there? What's the one thing that you'll say?
The four agreements?
Yes, the four agreements. And you can look them up online also. Ruaz is the name of the author. And
There's a book on it.
Yeah, and all kinds of websites and who knows what else nowadays. But four little things, but they're very powerful. Four agreements. What else? Right. There's your life and your life situation. And the two things, you can actually get perspective and see that they're different. And that gives you a lot of balance and detachment at the right times when you need it. What else? Yes.
Having a sense of purpose.
Yes.
And thinking a bit more clearly and taking time to think about it.
Exactly.
Not letting other things distract me that aren't gonna.
Why not? You know, we're human. We can, at any time, we can say, I want time off to look and see why I'm actually doing anything that I'm doing, right? And when you get that, it's such a powerful energy that you can move forward with in your life. Yeah, that's amazing. What else? One thing you're taking away. Yes.
Yeah. Decluttering your environment, but also decluttering your mind.
That's right.
It goes together, right?
It does go together, absolutely. If you're cluttered inside, it tends to project outside. That's why ecology starts inwardly. Because you can clean up a river, but if the people who live there, they have such their cluttered minds that they think it's okay to just chuck stuff in the river, it's going to end up polluted again. So the pollution problem in the world is really an internal problem. And the pollution problem in my apartment and my car and everything like that, it's internal. Start here, and it'll manifest outwardly. Who else was going to say one? One more takeaway. Yes, yes. Gratitude and getting that feeling like enough. Whatever I have right now, and if you have that, then you can actually have, it's a fulcrum of power. Because if you have enough, you don't have to get anything else. You're not needy. It's very powerful.
I think also to add to that, not just that you have enough, but you know, I am enough.
Yes.
I am enough.
Exactly. I thank you for rephrasing that. And this is what I started with. You'll see on the outline it says, what I am is more important than what I have. Because what I am, I don't even have to become something else. Because if I actually observe what I am already, I'm a conscious being. It's superior to all the things in the world. In fact, this idea of balance, it comes from the scales, bi-lance. It's two pans that the picture's at the top of that outline, and you weigh things out. If you take all the things that you think you want, you put them on one side, and you put your actual self, what you are, on the other side, the self is always more weighty. And we know that intuitively, but I get lost in the things, and I lost in the weeds, and I forget about what's actually the most important. Anybody else have one that didn't go yet?
Mine was just mainly detachment and my perspective on what the influence you can have on things.
Yes.
Compared to what you get so emotionally wrapped up in.
Right.
That you actually are just burdening and bandaging yourself with.
Yeah. That detachment is very powerful. To have a, if you could have a little bottle, you know, and just take a tiny little drop and get a perspective through detachment, it gives you more dexterity in life and moving through and seeing what's important and what's not. Thank you. That was really good. Anyone else? All right, so I really appreciate that you took your time. You're all really busy and you've got important things to do. I came all the way from California just to meet you, and somehow here we are. And I'm really honored that you took so much of your time. And I hope that any of the thoughts will enrich your life and it'll help you in some way. And I know I got a lot from you. More than I gave, I got from you the things you shared back. So I deeply appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, hey! Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman.